talk because I'm inspired. I was just talking. It is the Lord's Supper tonight. So if you knew the Christian story, tonight, Wednesday, before Easter, is the Lord's Supper. So you don't have to believe anything in order to be influenced by the energies of history and the energies of all the people who believe in the history and actually our own, for me, archetypal experience. Like I have, inside me, I know being there. So that's what I'm going to say. I'm talking about tonight's Lord's Supper. The crucifixion and the being entombed, Friday night, Good Friday. And quite honestly, there's a whole bunch of ceremonies that go on in Christian culture, Catholicism, and all that. On Friday, you know, big deal, big deal. And then being in the tomb for 3 days, most people don't even think about that. Very often at this time, I and other people have a time where you kind of go underground in some part of our being, if not totally, for 3 days, and then we wake up again on Easter. So what is that about? We could say that it's a religious ritual, but we also could say that it lives in us, in our DNA, that like I see the history of our own family gets repeated again and again and again until somebody says, stop, you know, I'm not going down that slippery slope. I'm going to change my life and do something different. Quite honestly, I believe all of us have a responsibility, an ability to respond to times and the changing times because we can feel it. It's just we try to ignore it. And when you try to ignore what's going on, like, you know, Belgium, you know, like the full moon, 5 a.m. this morning, like spring, equinox, like Easter coming. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. If you're not aware of all that's going on right now, you might think that you're sick, okay? Because I had some feelings of being sick the last 2 days. Not sick in a way that's obvious, but sick in a way that doesn't feel right. Okay, something, oh, somebody wants to get in. Coming! It's probably Gloria. What do you think? It's Gloria. Is this Gloria? Come in! It's Gloria.
Yeah, you're lucky. Let you through the back door.
You should have gone, what was it? Joe, it's Joe. What is that song? Not three times and whisper low. Something that I'm sent by Joy.
That's a different one.
There's the two different songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, to get in the back door. So what I'm talking about, kiddo, to you and other people come, is that there is a lot happening right now. I mean, a lot happening right now, inside, outside, and that's not by accident. That all of this is the repeat of ancient ritual patterns, experiences that come through us as humanity, and if we don't acknowledge them, if we suppress them or cover them up or drug ourselves through them, we don't acknowledge that there's something here that's mighty and important that we need to respond to. And so I'm, you know, yes, I called it spring cleaning. At the time when I wrote those titles, I didn't even stop and think about, oh yeah, this is right before Easter. But it is right before Easter. And there is something really valuable for all of us to start cleaning up our act. And I don't know why we are so numb to it. Mostly that's how it feels. Or just don't give a damn, don't care. But I think there's a lot we all need to be doing. And it's not about being employed. It's not about, you know, going to church. It's not about, you know, any particular thing. Joining the Bernie Sanders group that wanted to use this space tonight, and I declined because they're, by the way, over there a few paces, because we were here, and I didn't want to bump this group out of here. Yeah, I mean, this is our space, yeah, and I want to give it to them, but I said you have to do it another time or another day. Okay, so stop and look. Just stop and look for yourself what's showing up in your life today and or yesterday or the day before, since spring, or what's showing up in your life the next few days, and are you actually going to take some time to get still, to meditate, to ask yourself, what do I need to let go or till under, like in the old-fashioned plowing days, so that I can actually conscientiously plant the seeds for the next year or for the rest of my life? What am I ready to awaken to? And or am I willing to wake up, get out of my sleepiness, my lethargy, my forgetfulness, and actually say, I am here. I'm going to use my vernacular to be the light of the world. Because every single one of us is meant to be the light in this world. And where we're not, where we're dimming our light, you know, doing all that stuff, we are literally forsaking our own life purpose. We're not living our truth. And I think so often we have gazillion excuses, and I'm telling you, the world piles more on. You know, listen to the news and you'll hear the excuses. To hide or to be afraid. And by the way, when you hide or you're afraid or you're negative, your light dims. And the only way you can get yourself out of that dimming is literally to shine, polish up your light, and literally wash off, scrape off the stuff that's blocking your lighthouse. I mean, we're wearing a lighthouse, and we can be shining everywhere we go. Or we can say, I'm only going to shine when it's safe. And of course, it's not very safe many places. All I'm going to do is that I'm just be dim. And you know what I'm saying, right? I mean, all of you know what I'm saying. And, I mean, you're waiting. You're waiting, and a lot of us are waiting. Waiting. What are we waiting for? I mean, that's a really big question. What in the heck are we waiting for? Yeah? What
do you mean? Clarity of thought. I'm actually doing what I need to do.
Thank you. Bravo.
Very much. I mean, it's like I've needed to do this for a long time, and I'm getting a chance to do it.
I love it.
I don't know how it's going to play out. I think it's going to play out great. I've had major victories these last days and weeks. Suffered a defeat yesterday. I think it's going to be all very fine. I don't know. It's like really, it's very, very
good, Chad.
It's always like this with me. And
Rebirth. If you look at the birth process, and some people don't understand, our life is constantly dying to its old self and getting ready for rebirth. And a lot of us just think that there's one cycle. There's not one cycle. There's cycles over and over and over again in a marriage, in a business. Relative to the earth, relative to our own bodies, we're constantly ready for whatever the next stage is. So there's a lot of us that need to literally let go and die to the old stories, the old feelings, the old judgments, the old beliefs, so that we can, or disintegrate, that's the other word. People are really afraid of disintegration, so they're constantly patching themselves together again, gluing themselves up and trying to fix and figure out and make sure that they're going to last for another season. Instead of, why not just lay down? That's what Jesus did. Just lay down. Let yourself die. It might only take 30 seconds to be reborn again, or it might take 3 days. But let yourself disintegrate, because you will always reintegrate at a higher level. You'll reintegrate with more clarity. You'll reintegrate with the truth of who you are. Yes, I'm fired up. Yes. I mean, that's important.
Yeah.
This is the Last Supper. That's what I told them. This is the Last Supper Wednesday, you know? And that's a big deal. Gathering with your friends, right? And setting yourself up to say goodbye, but also recognizing that you're going to be betrayed, which that's another whole story. I mean, I had an experience today of, really? It's like, really? Friends or people who should be on top of it, and the kind of experience I had, and I said to Robert, you know what, I think I've got a case of paranoia. You know? Have you ever had a case of paranoia? What in hell is happening here? Right? It doesn't last long for me, because I don't... What do you say? Stand for it? Lie for it all? I took a nap and then I'm out of it. I mean, that's sort of take a nap and get up and be new again. You know, I'm in charge. Do you guys know you're in charge? Nobody else is in charge of your life or your health or your well-being. You're in charge. And most people don't want to be. Well, I want to be, because I know if I'm in charge, I'm going to do good by myself. All right, so she wants to say something. Start with you.
A lot of stuff. I think
you were talking about payment of disintegration, and I was thinking that a lot of times we, you know, we identify with our problems so much, like I am my problem.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to disassociate myself from that stuff as much as I can. And also, I remember you talking about, I can't remember what you said, but something about it's okay to be happy or something.
Yeah.
And I'm immensely happy a lot of the time. Yeah, I've got this huge issue to deal with. It scares me the shit out of me. But
yeah, but see, it's good to shit.
Really
at least you're going to let go of the toxins.
Yeah, but instead of saying, no, I can't be happy, seize the moment, you know, go ahead and do what I have to do, what makes me happy. And even if it's not addressing that big issue directly, you know, I can be happy.
What if?
It's such a nice feeling to just relax. Right now, I can be really happy.
Uh-huh.
You know, and for the most part, I am.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Good choice.
So if we stopped making much ado about nothing, that thing, if we stop focusing on the issue that's sitting there waiting and we're happy, believe it or not, that issue would dissolve. It would dissolve. You would see it differently. He's waiting for clarity. It's like that. You would shine a light. You fill yourself with light first, if you just look at the sort of physics of it. You fill yourself with light and you're full of delight. That's where the clarity comes, because you need to have a strong beam in order to see through the darkness, right? And then you take that clarity or that joy, whatever you want to call it, and you look on that poop or you look on that dark hole, and you can actually see because you're so filled with light. If you're walking around, you know, being cautious, dimming your light, you know, or shading yourself, you know, looking through sunglasses, then you're not going to see very much. But if you could be really filled up with light, when you look, you say, ah, that's what I see. That's why enlightenment, use that word enlightenment, it means you're awake. That's what it means. And when you're enlightened and you look at things, you do not see the dark. What you do is you see the way people are hiding themselves from the light. I mean, it's literally the opposite of what we thought. We're not dark, you know, trying to get light. We're actually light. Hiding ourselves, you know. Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, you're a wise guy. You know, this is a really, both in the humorous way and in the real way, you know, we all are, and we need to laugh more. We all are filled with great wisdom, great intuition, great capacity for everything. And we're busy walking around, we used to call it in the 70s, cases of suppressed happiness. That human beings are cases of suppressed happiness. And we hang out with people who aren't happy too, so that we don't have to feel bad because we're not as happy as they are. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know? That's why sometimes I like to hang out alone, because I like my own light. I really do. And I think all of us should. What do you want to say?
So great here with you today.
Good.
So grateful. This is actually what I was thinking and writing about today, the whole process of moving out of the density.
Yes.
And the needing to know myself by contrast and the highs and the lows and the this is but the not that. The whole dancing through the illusions. And, you know, there's some stories I could tell, but I won't tell the whole thing. But my first time at Harvard was all about this experience where I was totally in darkness, and it occurred as a vision, sort of, totally in darkness, and like, whoa, what's going on? I can't see anything. And then all of a sudden, dropping in, they're becoming aware of the path.
Yes.
Okay, now I know there's a path. I'm on the path. And then, like, all of a sudden, there was not just the path, and me, but it was just this flawless movement. And
flow.
Then
you were with flow.
Completely, uh-huh. But it kept coming over and over, and then I would forget, and every time I forgot, I would have a thought or an emotion which was about separation or not feeling as loved as or as cute as my friend or desirable or whatever was going on in my diorama.
Yeah.
Up here.
That's
and
interesting, diorama. Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And then it would be like I had this image of an old bridge, like one of those kinds of bridges that were made without any mortar and completely cut to fit together perfectly.
Yep.
And with a keystone in the middle and everything completely suspended without the usual support. And And then when I would go in this forgetting place again, I would just feel such pain and angst and alone and the whole ego ickness. And then the stones, a stone or two would fall. And then Spirit would say to me, well, this is what happens when you don't know how important you are to everything.
Yep.
And that experience kept continuing, and it kind of, I won't say the whole thing, but it laid out my 21 years at Harvard and what I was supposed to be about. And so both of you know what I went through, some of you know what I went through a year and a half, 2 years ago with my eyes, and you know, all the fear that came up for me, and it was like this big blunk of fear on my path.
Yep.
And so I had a chance to be back in the outpatient surgery to have these things you're supposed to have done, but for a reason, it's like the colonoscopy and all of the above. And I was laying there and I was thinking about our Reiki classes. And I was thinking about how I feel different in my body than I did a couple of years ago. And then I started to conjure up some Reiki between my hands and my thoughts.
Yep.
And to be there, and I was watching the whole parade of people going in front of my my stall, you know, with the draperies on it, and back and forth, and I was just dropping. And all of a sudden I saw that two people fell out of formation in the parade and walked right towards me. And I go, you're here for me? You know? And it was like I got this affirmation, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And it was two women massage therapists.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, are you kidding me? And I was like rubbing my eyes going, whoa. And I said, well, I'm one of you. And they said, great. And they said, well, what? Tell me where? And I said, 21 years at Harvin. And they go, oh, how wonderful. And then there was healing around the fire and the stories of that. And I just felt these angelic presences. And so elevated, and she and I immediately said, so do you know energy work? She said, yeah, after a couple of years here, they sent me to medical massage school, but where I really learned how, and it was a form of energy healing. So she just joined with me and helped me soften into my heart and my whole body, and I was just, wow, what a different experience from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, completely different.
Fabulous.
And
fabulous.
I just wanted to share that. And so today has been all about the revisiting of the patterns, and I knew that tonight was about spring cleaning, and the ways in which I just can visualize them as a ball of fear in front of me, and I just have to keep walking through.
Beautiful.
And it took me 21 years to unpack and really dig into the message that I got 21 years ago on my first visit here.
Wow.
And I feel like that's what's being asked of me now.
Yeah.
And now I'm realizing that everything is showing up to teach me about my nature through the contrast of things, you know, like the dark and the light stuff, but to welcome the contraction as much as I welcome the expansion.
It's part of the rebirth.
And that's exactly what
labor pains, contraction.
And so that's where I sat today.
Yeah.
And so I was so happy to watch. Anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Yay!
That's good.
Yeah.
You prepared this for us.
Pardon me?
You prepared this for us.
Well, it's been my peer, and I'm no longer thinking that if it's going bad, it's not going good.
Thank you.
Because it's like if I keep looking for the outside to show up the way I think it ought to be showing up, then I'm always at least three steps behind creation, at least.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah.
Does that work for you?
I mean, all of us. You could say all of us were born differently.
Yes.
That our birthing process for all of us was unique unto us. And that birthing process was created by us. It looks like our mother or the doctors or whatever. But it was created by us as a piece of our, what would I call it? Palm Sunday, you know, you ride in on a colt, to be celebrated. So theoretically, most of us rode in to be celebrated at our birth. And we all had a different riding in experience. That would be another way to say it. You know, how did you ride into this life? Did you ride into this life ready to be celebrated? Or were you kind of disregarded or, oh God, another kid? you know, or were people all drugged up? My mother actually was given laughing gas, so that's probably something about the movie, right?
So happy, yeah.
Yeah, right. How we wake up in the morning is very often a foretelling, it tells about our experience birthing. Most people don't know that. So how we wake up is very often the leftovers of what our own birthing experience was. And see, he actually is nodding about that. And so all of us, you know, are either looking forward to it or we're, oh God, can I stand under the covers? Can I go back to the womb? You know, is there some way I can get out of this? Or all that stuff. So we're at a very crucial, meaning crossroads point where we get to decide for ourselves. What does that say over there? Because we were given that in 1992. Don't look back. So that's about the crossroads in life, that little poster. And we have to decide. We can stand right in the crossroads for the rest of our life. Should I do this or should I do this? Or we can take one of those forks and say, I'm not going back. You know, I'm choosing this way, and this is going to be the way that sets me free, that gives me what I'm here to be.
By the way, on the poster, one fork is, says your life, and the other says no longer an option.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Cool, huh?
You can always choose again.
You can always choose again, but it will never, if you go back to the way that it was, it will never be the way that it was. It will always be something new. And I think some of us understand you can always choose something different. I can always choose to go back. You know, I used to say my mother's basement, that was my last resort place. You know, if I really need to, I can live in my mother's basement, her downstairs. My mother isn't here anymore physically. So what would it be to go back on my mother's downstairs if I needed to? Well, safe, loving, provided for. I mean, I can think about that. Or am I going to choose to venture out on my own, knapsack on my back, you know, the fool and the tarot? And we can all ask ourselves, what is the life that you're currently choosing? And do you have a safety valve or a safe place that you can, a place of respite, you know, that you can go back to, and what is it? I mean, your place of respite is sitting right here doing the computer or sitting here doing yoga. I mean, that's his respite place right now, right? He's got a safe place. He knows that I'm not closing the doors. He has a key. You know what I'm saying? We all need that in our own psyche to make sure that we don't feel absolutely at sea with no North Star, no rudder, no navigation tools. We need to make sure. So I'm just going to ask you, do you know at this moment, and Prem, you might want to talk because you haven't said anything, do you know at this moment what you need to really be with yourself in this process, life? You know? Are you with yourself? Or are you somewhere wishing, you know, it were a different way, where we're separate from ourselves? Or regretting, feeling guilty about, regretting that we didn't do this, that, or the other thing? Or are we really home? I'm home.
May I? I have to leave here in just a few moments.
Okay. He's going to fly. He's going to do flying yoga. Is that right?
I just want to say, I guess one of the things that I'm kind of hanging on to, the thing that really scares me, is that is to be a bird. You know, because it's like I'm in construction. I mean, I've done work all my life. If you ask me, I've been an exemplary individual. Like as far
thank
as
you.
Thank you.
I absolutely have. I've never gone to court. People always love me. I mean, I'm just like, what do you want? Like, okay, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, and it's like, you know, and I run the cruise and I get the work done. It's like, you know, and I've never been very happy, but I've always held myself to just giving people what they want. You know, it's like, you know, and that's how I, but anyways, and now with all that, I can't do that anymore, and I just don't want to, I mean, I don't mind living in a shack in the woods. Like right now I have a bed in a shack in the woods. And it's I'm fine, you know, but I also know that, you know, I'm going to want to travel, I'm going to want to have options, I'm going to want to have more money. I can see it coming right now, it's just a holding pattern, kind of like just reconfiguring my compass, you know, and And
don't you love it? See, I love it that you gave yourself the time.
The only thing that is really like angst giving is just the not knowing if it's going to work out in a good way. You know, it's like, I mean, because it's like, you know, and I think that's the thing that keeps me on my toes. I don't know. I'm just saying that that's just where I'm at. And the thing that concerns me is just that that I maybe have not made some hard choices, that I should be doing things that are hard for, you know, hard to do, because, you know, I don't want to do them, and I'm letting myself not do the hard things, and maybe that's going to land me in a really bad place, you know.
So what's the doomsday thought? In other words, your life has always worked.
Okay, right. I don't have any money. I have to go and...
No, I know that.
No, I'm just saying.
But you have food.
The doomsday is that I don't have any money. I have to go to people and say, I don't have any money, I don't have any tools. Do something with me. You know?
So what will happen?
You know?
What's the worst that will happen?
I guess it's kind of like, for one, I'm going to have to settle for doing something I don't want to do. You know, which
but maybe you don't have to do anything.
That's what I want.
So isn't that what you're doing?
Yes.
I mean, you're doing whatever you darn well please, and it's working. So maybe it's going to go on working.
Right. Well, that's what I'm not convinced of. I mean, I'm
so you're not trusting.
That's true. I mean, you know.
But if you look at your history, hasn't it always worked?
It's always been. It's always come out. You know.
See, that's what I do. I say, you know, have I always had what I needed? Yeah, I have. Have other people judged that I should have done something, should have, would have, could have? Of course.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really need to
fully on them. I mean, that's the spring cleaning. That's the letting go. Let those cobwebs go out of your head,
yeah.
out of your heart and your gut,
yeah.
And just trust. You are a good guy, and so your needs are taken care of. You're doing no harm, and so no harm will come to you. You're okay. And if you sort of value or even get excited about the okayness, which I watch you do, I think you're going to see you've always been okay, and it's always going to be okay. And that little boy inside that gets worried, I think he's going to realize he can just relax and trust that life will support him.
This morning I woke up, I suffered a major defeat yesterday, and like, anyway, some things went really, I got the message like, I have been doing the wrong thing, and I'm running out of money, and I'm going to work. I woke up this morning, and I realized that I hadn't really slept. And I woke up and I was like, and I was kind of like feverish. And I was like, and I just said, you know, I can't do that. What I couldn't do was continue to be angst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it makes you sick.
And I just said, I gave myself up, and I just said, you know.
That's it.
Good job.
That's it. You surrendered.
And it was really like the washing machine.
Yeah.
Amazing how I
was. That's the spring.
All of a sudden, I had a really nice number hour of snooze. And then I made some phone calls that didn't occur to me before, and before I knew it, I was on my next path. So, like,
bravo! That, and for me, that's the full moon, and that's the blessing, because it intensifies everything. And if you surrender, woo! It just releases.
Surrender was the word. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Bravo! Because you surrendered not just for Shale. This is the other thing. Most of us don't realize, most of the planet. He surrendered for all of us. You surrendered your fear for all of us.
Drop in a pool of water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You blessed all of us by doing that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go fly free. Go fly free. Go for it.
Actually, the beginner's class, and she said that I could come.
Oh, good.
Thank you. See you later.
Bye. So now we get the girls and Robert.
Yeah.
So what do you want to say? Because you haven't shared any, and Prem hasn't shared any.
We'll start with her, ladies first.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I feel, the word came to me, transition.
Uh-huh.
From the way my life was to, and then I go, yeah, but what about right now? This is, you know, I'm okay right now. And, if I remember that. I mean, if I have any, if I'm in anxiety or, you know, oh, wow, things aren't the way they were, if I look at it that way, I'm taking myself out of what is happening right now in the present moment, which is good. You know, I've got enough of everything, and there's beauty all around me. I live in a great place, and yet I have this thing that there's something else that I could be doing that is still to show up, and I don't know what it is, and I'm open to it, and not pushing really hard to, I mean, it's not like desperate, what is it, what is it, I have to find it. There have been times in my life I've made a choice and gone, you know, somewhere or did something, and then, wow, now I'm on this path. Now this is, and that has felt good. It's like
to have a new path.
Yeah, like going to say this energy school, or coming to Harbin and studying massage, or da 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 da. It's always felt good to me if I see something. It usually has a learning involved in it, or a sharing of me. You know, like I used to be a teacher or whatever. And now I'm kind of in this.
Low.
Yeah. I mean, I am doing things. I'm open, and I'm not depressed. It just feels like there's something coming.
So you're not inspired right now. You're not driven right now. You're not focused on a future goal right now. You're in a, I'm going to use the word used with him, a surrendered place, a neutral place.
Yeah.
And I use the word with him, waiting. Does it feel like
it
you're waiting?
It feels like what you were saying about being in the tomb for 3 days.
Yeah.
And that waiting for the resurrection or the new opening of light to shine in.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes in the United States especially, we judge that, especially California actually. We judge that we always need to be up and going and doing something. I mean, I know that I'm in the process of letting go of an old way of being, doing, having, all that stuff, and that the new way will come, the new vision will come. But it's not something that I can make happen. It's just like I know somebody's waiting for a baby right now, and she had planned it for today, and it didn't come today. You know, it's like that. But you feel soft. Do you feel soft?
Mm-hmm.
And just full of, I could call it grace. You know, like a mom and a lady in waiting.
Right. And I have surrendered in the past to just, you know, wait for my body to do whatever it needed to do to heal. And okay, we're only doing this much today. And tomorrow we do that again, maybe a little more, blah blah blah. So I know what that is, to surrender over and over and over.
Yeah.
And be in the moment, okay, here we still are, or here we are again. And to still be open to something more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I feel I'm open.
Thank you. I often feel like the pain that I see human beings in and myself too, is when we are in resistance or in conflict with ourselves. In other words, we have a part of us that is here, but another part of us wishes we were there. And so we are distressing ourselves because we're not together, whole. And so for me, part of surrendering is just allowing myself to just kind of slip back inside who I am. Okay, this is who I am, this is where I am, so I'm slipping right back in her, you know. And it can change, it can fluctuate momentarily, moment to moment to moment.
Yes.
And I think that's healthy too.
Yeah, you know, passing that 6 month anniversary with the fire, and I knew when I watched the fire coming down the hill,
you know, Harbin as I knew it is over. My life as I knew it, the community, the structure, the is
even the people.
The people.
Yeah.
It will never be the same. It could be recreated in a new way, but that is over. And that's easy to say, and okay, I get it. And then the reality of it. But it feels like in the last month, there really has been like a deeper level than I did before with my life being the way it was and not waiting for it.
I'm just realizing that some of us have lots of this life experience. We all have lots of life experiences, but some of us have a lot of shifts and changes and over and over and over in this life, and for whatever reason, I'm very grateful that I don't have a lot of attachments, which probably is what causes me little suffering. That's an interesting. So the place where I have pain is when I want to get up and do things, because I like that. I like that feeling. And so when I resist that, so I did learn with those 40 years of migraine, I did learn to lay down and surrender, to die. And it was the only way that I would be released from the pain. There was, I had lots of practice. I hadn't seen it quite that way until right now. Lots of practice. Died in my old self. But I think that is what we do, is we get very attached to the physical, all of the experiences we have in this physical world. Very attached. So Robert, what do you want?
What I try and focus on is I try and focus on the experience. And it's a challenge sometimes, because if I look back at my life, I've done a lot of different things. To have experiences that I appreciate, enjoy, or that feel true or real to me, or where I felt kind of like myself. I guess that's the easiest way to say it. So a lot of things that I did, and I, you know, you talked about that, why do I talk about, you know, I bring up some things in the past sometimes. It's because they symbolize, you know, it's kind of like I get to touch in again, and it's not so much what I was doing, but it's the feeling that I had. Here's how I experienced myself while I was doing that. So, for me, the context of my present moment does include the experiences of the past, and to a certain degree, you know, I'm looking at the future, saying, you know, I'd really like to have some of that experience in the future, and so I'm kind of working both ends of it. But what you said is about, you know, you don't get so caught up in the past or so caught up in the future, but to stay present with it. And so the value for me of having experiences of myself in the past is that I know what that feels like. And so in the present, you know, if I remember that and I'm not having that experience of myself right now, then, you know, I can look for little bits of it. There's a little here, a little there, or I can just be peaceful now, or it's coming, or whatever it is. And I think some of that's sort of important for me. I wouldn't be a good, well, actually, who knows what I'd be if I really were a present moment person. But for me right now, as I've created my life, to just really operate in the present moment, no past, no future, it would appear, probably because of the past, to have certain liabilities. In other words, there's some value to me in there's some value to me in feeling like there's something that I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives me a reason for being here.
Mm-hmm.
there's not value in pushing myself to it or making myself do things I don't want to do or doing things just to be doing things, but there's some value to thinking there's really something I should be doing. It keeps me looking. It keeps me awake. It keeps me aware. And the challenge for me, again, is to come back and define that in terms of experience rather than in terms of actual tasks and jobs and work and stuff like that. So that's the dance that I dance. While it's not always fun when I'm not feeling like I'm doing or being how I ought to be, there's value in that because it keeps me in the game. You know, and the way that it works for me that keeps me happily in the game and positively in the game is to really focus on having experiences of myself, rather than tying it to doing stuff. Okay, so that's my rambling.
You know, what's interesting when we're talking is I see a couple of things that are relevant to this time, meaning today, relevant to us as a group, relevant to us in the time of our life, because we all have some similarities where we are in the time that we're here. One thing that I'm noticing is that some of us are more self-conscious. We're focused on ourselves. And some human beings are more other-conscious, meaning we don't even really notice ourselves. I used to call that my impersonal life versus the personal life. You know, it's about me. It's about me being this body, being present for whatever is right now on the planet. We also have going on right now is we have a lot of dramatic external distraction. You might have noticed. Yeah, to say the least. Which means that I get to ask myself, so why or for what are we being called externally to look at what we call terrorists and then terrorize ourselves with looking at terrorists? Or the movies that are out, or the TV shows that are out, or the terror, you know, I happen to know about several rapes and I'll say muggings or whatever, assaults in this little town of Middletown, you know, or a way that someone from the superintendent's office interacted with me on the phone. There is a this dramatic kind of energy that's out right now. And, well, it can be. It can be. So each of us need to ask ourselves, what is this about for me? And how do I react and or respond to this? So we have this drama question happening right now on the planet. Well, there's Jesus' crucifixion. You talk about drama. That was drama. Or the plague, or, you know, various of the, what do you call them, when one religion persecuted the other, that kind of stuff. Crusades, stuff like that, right? So we have that going on now. So what do we do about these external distractions that cause us either to hunker down and protect ourselves, meaning become very self-referring and, you know, go inside and hide or dim our light or whatever, as I was talking about before, or to come out and get a cause and, you know, I'm Bernie Sanders or I'm Barack Obama or I'm Donald Trump or whatever, you know, like that. We have these, yes, I am. Because I like playing that, actually. I like trying all those out. So there's all these very interesting ways. Oh, and there's also on the planet a lot physical. United States more than any other place. What's happening in my body, with my body, my eyes, my age, my me. You know, there's a lot of that physicality. So if I just look at what's happening, are we together as a team? You know, we have said we're all in this together, you and I, you know, and none of us are separate. We're one, that kind of thing. Or are we individuated and separate and each needing to worry about our own little island? Or are we here to group ourselves, cliques you could call it, and go do something together, team up, usually teaming against somebody else, which is also interesting. You know, harmonizing the Milltonians, stuff like that. Are we victims, which we've talked about the last couple of weeks? Or are we sovereign in our ability to be the light of the world, to be the Christ, to be the unlimited one, created in that way? And. I mean, there are many more things I could mention. I believe we're all in our own very unique position. In a hologram, I used to see us as a circle, but more than that, I see us as puzzle pieces, each a mosaic, each having our perfect place in that mosaic, creating a beauty that has not been seen or known by most of us. Union in God is what I would call it right now. Needing to polish up, clean off our piece, exquisite piece of glass. Right now I'm seeing two-dimensional, but really multi-dimensional in this enormous cosmos. And if we could see ourselves at that level of beauty or perfection, would we not surrender and allow ourselves just to be it? Just to be it.
Yes, I'm completely there with you on that. Where I'm at with it is thinking about what Robert was saying, thinking about the questions you're putting out here for us, is that this place of, and the word I wrote down before we started this conversation was cohesion.
Nice.
And so that's another word I've been working with today. And it's a big word now, I think, in the world of healing. But I also see it multidimensional. I see it spherical, you know. I see it as, and it was a poem, I don't remember who wrote it, but I do remember that you had the book here at one point, Prospering Woman, where
I
saw the poem. And I think it's an Indian poem. It's, I have a body, but I'm not my body.
Uh-huh.
I have a mind, but I'm not my thoughts.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have emotions, but I'm not those emotions. I am a center of consciousness,
uh-huh.
designed to become self-aware. And that self-awareness is the cohesion when you feel like yourself, those moments in your life you've actually experienced yourself.
Yeah.
And in those moments of experience, there's no question of anything other than being, which
yeah.
is what you just said. So that beingness, which is the beingness that's all of us together, including Hillary and Mr. Trump and all these folks here with us in WC, so with all that but I am sitting with, I can know this sometimes so fully and deeply, and then I can forget it
yes.
nearly as fully and deeply. And so my questions for myself are, what are the practices that allow me that cohesion where I don't have to get into the distraction of eating one more thing because I don't feel full? You know, like how do I honestly, exquisitely care for this precious beingness in a way I never have before? And just telling myself the truth about where I am. You know, and then I find that when I'm really honest about where I am, I get met. In some ways, it gets me back on track and in myself. So that's where I'm at. And sometimes it feels like the difference between the two is so much. It's like, I don't know. You get back to what I'm saying there. So I don't know. This is it. So everything is saying.
I love what you're saying, and what I notice is I like bumping out of, I'm thinking about Chinese checkers and being in the pocket, or, you know, there are those games, you know, where you're trying to get in the groove, right? I like being in and bouncing out, and being in and bouncing out. I like coming over and hanging with you. I like coming, and if I'm not free, I can't have that universal experience.
Okay. Could you say more, because I don't
you don't get it.
I don't quite get it the way in which you're saying it, because I feel like when I'm really in and being, there's a natural fluidity and flow to everything. So I don't understand stopping in and being out.
So I like being out of integrity. I'm not afraid. That's probably the easiest thing.
Yes,
I'm not afraid to go over and visit you or you or you or you or Donald Trump or whoever. And I actually enjoy the novelty. And it's probably because I remember the truth of I am.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm with you there. But that's also what I was saying earlier. It's just that I'm learning to love being in constriction as much as I am in expansion.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How to be with it without resistance and surrender. Right?
Without resistance. I like that.
Yeah, because I know I've probably shared this before, but if you look at the word resist, it has IS in the middle. If you embrace the IS, the is in the middle, you can rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the place that I love to learn about.
Is ISIS is? Is not spelled? ISIS is spelled is.
Yeah, exactly. That's my wordplay.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Like crisis, ISIS, where is means is. We've talked about this before. And ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to think about the Isis from
the
mythology.
Goddess. Mm-hmm. The goddess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was trying to remember about her yesterday. Do we remember? Didn't you remember what Isis was about?
No, but I'll go home and look it up. I have a whole bunch of things to look up today.
Yeah.
People bring me things, and then what I say, they attract me or they draw me. I mean, the thing that happened today with the superintendent person, I'm going to look. You know, I'm going to look, because the more I know, this is what I'm experiencing, the more I know, the less I fear. The more I know, the more I am. Because I don't hold myself separate from any.
Right.
What were you going to say, Prem? You were going to say something.
I was going to say,
I can be
completely gone. Back.
Or it'll be made anew.
Yes.
You lit up when I was talking about sort of like getting really little and big and knowing what you like.
It's okay.
Okay.
When you open your eyes and you shine at me, I'll say, oh yeah, Prim.
Yep.
So that you don't forget.
Okay.
How about you, Miss Shirley?
Hi.
Shirley the Presence. She's leaking today. Do you notice that?
I'm not crying. I'm just
you're leaking. That's what I call it. You're leaking. washing your eyeballs.
I don't know. What do you want to know?
Where are you? Where are you as we look at your life in a global sense? Do you think you're in your new beginning stage? You think you're kind of hanging out, enjoying things right now?
I've jumped back and forth between the two. A couple of things. I have a tenant who I really adore, and he's become such a good friend, and he always wants to help me. I have a really hard time letting him help me, but it's stuff I can't, or well, he's a lot stronger than me, so he's always willing to help me with stuff. He's cleaning my pool for me, saving me $100 a month on a service, because I can't do it well enough. It's just wonderful that he's willing to do that for free. And some other things, and he's always really there for me, and I adore that. And part of me says I can't be dependent on anybody, and I have to do everything myself. So I'm learning to relax into that and just know that that's okay.
Do you know the gift you're giving him? Do you have any awareness?
Yeah, I do. He likes. I question whether he really wanted to be there, but I still got the gift.
Do you know that he likes to be useful?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And valued
and
appreciated?
Yeah. And
sometimes we forget the gift we give.
Yeah. Yeah. And we share meals together, and we don't keep track of money. You know, if he finds a deal on Broadway, we'll buy an extra head of broccoli and then
He's also a block of cheese the other day.
So is he really a 10?
Well, I call him that. But that's our legal arrangement. He's really just a friend. It's not a romantic relationship at all. But he's just a good friend. And I'm enjoying that.
It's
really nice.
It's a gift.
Yeah, it's really nice. And the other thing that happened about 10 days ago, I went to the Hidden Valley Ranch Garden Club. And I hadn't been to their, I went to the meeting many years ago, but now that I'm not working, I can go because the meetings are in the morning. And they were having a work day where they do a sale in May, obviously beginning to plant sale, and they grow most of that stuff from seeds and transplant stuff. And so Tanya was there from Star Garden, and there was probably 15 people there. And we had dirt and pots, and we planted seeds, and we all took them home. I have 16 snapdragon babies and 32 spinach babies. So I'm
I love it.
And I was so happy. I got to do that. I mean, just ecstatically happy to do that, to get my hands dirty. And everybody was so friendly, and you know, sometimes a small group can become cookish and they all know each other, but everybody talked to me and they helped me do stuff, and you know, I didn't have any expectation. I just offered myself, and we made these little cement pot things that you do, mix stuff together and you put it inside and put that in the pot, and then, I don't know, kind of interesting. I've never heard of it before. But I was so happy when I came home. Euphoria. It was so much fun.
I love it.
And I really, really love, I like to cook, but I have so many issues with food that I have to, it's a struggle sometimes. But with the gardening, you know, I can just grow and get my hands in the dirt, pull weeds. I can see that all day long. And so,
you found your group?
I love it, and I am so good. I don't know that I can make a living at it, and I'm okay with not making a living at it. As long as I get to do it, it will feed me. Spiritually, physically, it's good exercise.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And you just light up for all of us to enjoy.
Yeah,
we're sitting here grinning at you. Are you noticing? All of us are just tickled. Just go ahead and do that, and we'll.
Yeah.
We'll bring broccoli.
Yes.
But it was just so delightful, and so I'm hoping to do that as much as I can. When I get frustrated or upset, I'll go outside and cut something down. I mean, reading or pruning, you know, not distracted, but and that is physical. Maybe something beautiful, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that always kind of brings me back.
So do you notice how you created and continue to create all this? Do you know?
Mm-hmm. It's intentional. Mm-hmm. It's on purpose. And I've been to the senior center a few times, and that's been kind of fun for lunch, do a lot of things. And so I'm just playing. Somebody said a couple weeks ago that there was, you know, you were saying that there's not much to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, are you kidding? There's all kinds of things to do. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, what, you know, other people have a desire to do, but I'm finding there's all kinds of things to do.
Which that tells you you're in your right place.
Which
yeah.
is why
yeah.
you're here.
Yeah.
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 And remember, you were cloistered in your monastery before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've thrown open the doors and you're now out of your little monastery. That's good. Monastery. That's good. Monastery.
Or a mono story.
That's like
one
story.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Monastery.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you're in love, and you're in joy, and you're in spring.
Yeah.
And it makes all of us spring forward too, because wow, that sounds wonderful. Because you're a part of us. You're a part of that mosaic. Yeah. Yeah, so thank you.
Yeah.
So I remember.
Thank you.
The word is contribution, to contribute. And it's something you were saying too, you being in the present, but also having something in the future, like to me it's contribution. And I feel for me it's important to contribute, to feel valued and to touch or be in touch with other people. And that can be one-on-one, or it can be in a group, or it can be digging in the garden. And they are going to have a garden, community garden.
I was wondering how long they're going to take me down.
Yeah,
at the senior center.
Well, it's actually, it's not going to be at the senior center. I just got an email. It's going to be a piece of land that between the Baptist Church and what's the other
Baptist Church?
Yeah, it's up on the highway.
Okay.
And
that's the casino?
No, not that far.
That's the animal hospital?
No.
The Mexican restaurant?
No.
No.
Yeah, the guy who's, the people that are the guys who.
Oh yeah, the geothermal.
Yeah, yeah.
Field?
Somewhere in that big open field.
Wow.
They've agreed.
They host a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah. So they're going to kelp on. Yeah. So they're going to let this happen, and they have to, I think, sign a contract or agree for 5 years that can be a community garden. And this organization, NorCal, they have the expertise, they've done it all over the place. And,
wow.
Putting fencing and
wow.
Drift. And
I think Larry, who is at the Reiki Share thing, sits over there, I think he's involved with that.
Yes.
One of the
yes.
people organizing
it. He's a casino guy.
No.
Not that one?
This is a different Larry.
Oh.
I think his name is Larry Ray, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was there yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, neat guy.
So it's really exciting. I love that because I did garden a lot at
Target. Wow.
So that's, I feel, a contribution.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
Yeah, where can I contribute?
Yeah. I contribute. We're going to get my hands dirty too.
I fantasized about being one of the worms in your worm.
I love him.
Yeah.
She has a great way of nurturing nature.
Wow.
Yeah, I find it soothing to the way that works.
That's great.
And you see them.
And pass them on.
And pass them on to other people, yeah. So you'll eat your garbage.
Yep.
Robert had a worm farm before I knew him.
Oh,
in Ohio.
What?
Wow.
Worms, if you want to start in there. They're very quiet.
Yeah, right. Not rambunctious, you know.
Yeah.
They don't cause any trouble.
No, they usually just pretend to stay at home. Just keep feeding.
Mm. Oh, gosh.
That's beautiful. I was also noticing when you were talking how the light happen to just shine on you.
Yeah, I was noticing that.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes I think we don't. I think sometimes we don't pay attention to things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my tendency is to become ever more aware, because I believe everything is giving us messages or waking us up or reminding us. That's another way to say it. Giving us a new mind, a new birth, a new self. Yeah, self-revelation. Yeah.
So I know I should know, but there's a part of me that loves the idea of Bible stories and the fact that you were talking about tonight being the Last Supper. I don't know if there's anything more about that to be said, but I just felt something in me open when you brought that to mind.
To me, it's a very, the world probably calls it sacred, but for me, it's beyond that. It's deeply inspiring. I don't tend to have the sort of heavy kind of emotions about it. I have rather a both a delight and a reverence, kind of like a delightful reverence. for all of that. I know humanity has used those stories to inspire itself and get itself going and riled up and all that. But for me, the Jesus creation, the passion play,
mm-hmm.
Gives me a lot of information about what we, humanity, has chosen and how we choose to interpret the stories that we tell about it. And so I get to interpret, and you, all of us, get to interpret the stories, no matter how they're written. We get to interpret those experiences any way that we want. And I'm sure that I've reinterpreted many times at many different levels, and probably my favorite is when I go into it. In other words, remember it as my own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my gift to myself, is to go to that place of being there, being one with Christ, being one with Judas, being one. And actually, in my life, if I ever told all those stories, I mean, I've had my own, literally, Christed experiences. And at the time, there's drama and there's fear and there's all of that. And what I noticed is, if I stay listening, there's a transformation in the process where the Judas or the persecutor is kissed, is forgiven, is loved. And in the moment, there's a transformation. Well, it's starting to come up. There's a transformation that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm being crucified, you know, or have the what would I call it, or have the scary experience, for me, the lights come up, and it's like being in a play. Literally, the lights come up, and I don't really know what to do, but I allow myself to do what I'm called to do. And yeah, it's just allow myself. And then all those come together who, theoretically, the persecutor and the victim and all that, everybody comes together in love, meaning holding each other, helping each other, stepping away from the world of judgment. Yeah, I can feel it. And then there's like an amazing healing that occurs, a healing that transcends thought, space, time, history, all of that. And when I allow that to be and I step back, I can actually see the history. I can see where the the betrayal occurs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean literally in this life, this body's lifetime. And so I'll finish with that. So I, the girl, the one that lives in this body, the innocent one, recognize that I may never know why things happen the way they happen. But if I trust that, in my innocence, I trust that it's all a part of love or returning to love, then what seems to happen is it literally softens the waves, the tsunami,
mm-hmm.
the passion, the drama. It actually begins to settle down
mm-hmm.
into a new way of
right.
being, a rebirth. And for me, when you describe I'm going to shift a little away from Jesus, but it's the same thing. So when you watch the crucifixion of the fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, out of nowhere, you know, that's a glorious sound. That's glorious.
I'm fully honest.
So the crucifixion of the fire happens. And if we allow it and we don't obsess on the drama of it or the destruction of it, what happens is there is, like we see right now, an incredible spring being born again. I mean, for me, and I haven't lived here that long, but for me, this spring, and if you drive along 29, is like amazing. I mean, it's like the desert. And I haven't even seen desert flowers, but it's like the desert after it's been dry for many, many years, and then suddenly it has a lot of rain, and it's more beautiful than it's ever been. And I think that's what life is for us. When we die to the old, when we give up the old judgments and holding things tight, and you're bad, and you're good, and that's wrong, if we let that all go, there's a new beauty, a new it's like the garden for me. There's a new coming together. There's a new revelation. My gosh, we don't have to stay and suffer. We don't have to stay separate. We don't have to ever be alone again. We don't have to judge where people live or how they live. We don't have to do that. We could just create safety. That's my favorite word right now. Mm-hmm. Safety for it all. Thank you, Judas, for playing your part. Thank you, Pontius Pilate. Thank you, you know, Betty Lou and John. And isn't that interesting? I'm not remembering his name. Musician. Mm-hmm. No, this is the personal experience in my life with a gun and a knife and all kinds of other things. I mean, it was, you know, drama personified. And what he went away with is he went away with a new self that probably no one in his life would ever have shown him. When fear is transformed and the light has come, which is what forgiveness is for me, what happens is the fear that we held no longer seems real. It seems like it was a play, passion. And I think that's what we're all here for, is to play it out until it literally dissolves, huh?
Bill Emerson.
Bill Emerson, thank you. Hi, Bill. Wherever you are,
thanks, Bill.
May you be blessed. Yeah.
Thank you.
Blessings. And there are other times in my life, I don't know about your life, but I think all of us experience some element of that Jesus story, some element of beloved, like deeply devoted and deeply trusting. And then we have an experience of betrayal, or someone who doesn't get us. They don't understand the purity of our love. And then we have a kind of forsaking, you know, people who step away. When I said paranoid, that's what I was feeling today. Mm-hmm. I wonder why the forsaking. I'm calling it that now, but I wasn't.
The disciples who denied, you know, Peter's.
Yes.
Denied it three times, you know,
and
like
they went
that.
To sleep, yeah. And that's what the world feels like it does. It goes to sleep. Mm-hmm. And who's going to stay awake? You know, who's going to have our back? You know, how do I play all those parts for me and for thee, for all of us? How do you play all those parts? How do you return to a state of we call it unconditional love, but it's more than that. It's way more than that. It's a state of total freedom, bliss, maybe, or union with God. And I believe that all of us want to come home, even if we don't remember what home is. And we want not to hurt anymore. And we want not to hurt anyone else anymore. And I'm talking about, you know, the Belgium guys, you know. So what do? They kill themselves after they kill, so that they hopefully, in their mind, can return home again, can feel safe again. It's remarkable to tell the story or live the story again and again and again and again. And that is what we do. We relive our own Christ. We relive our own worldly experience so that we can return.
Until? We keep reliving it until?
I think until we all remember. You know, in my experience, I could call it belief, my knowing, we're not done until everyone's done.
Isn't that the Bodhisattva thing? Like, we agree to be here to help until we're all done?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something about when you were speaking, it may not mean anything in this letter past if it doesn't, but when you were talking, I was just like, when you were talking about your experiences, it's like I felt this giant plug that had been plugging the fluid flow of all creation, just like this giant plug being pulled down, and all of a sudden, like,
whoosh. Yeah. Yeah. Whoosh. Yeah. Re- release.
It's like release. And I'm thinking a lot about living in reactivity, you know, that there's no distance between stimulus and response.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that kind of addiction to reactivity, to excitement, to fear, panic, all these things which are such a false sense of aliveness. And the crescendoing of that happening at this point, you know, like everybody, oh, now, you know, I see it as a blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, for me, it's about inhabiting that space, fully inhabiting that space between stimulus and response.
Yeah.
And like, and that's that, like when I felt that plug and I could feel you aligning over there, I was like, whoa, that was exciting, you know, all these
uh-huh.
things, like, and then releasing. And I had it, I just want to be brief with this because I don't, I, but
you're
I
fine.
To, I,
you're fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That is, but I had an experience of my friend who took me to the hospital on Monday for these things that I had originally had scheduled for the Monday after the fire.
Yeah.
So it's taken me a while to get there. And in the car, it was like, I sensed my friend in a difficult state, but there was like, there was something going on between us that was pattern, like
mm-hmm.
a patterned reaction. And I was really aware of wanting to be with myself in a way which wasn't so panic, like I've been facing things around my health, and I know you know about this. So I was just really doing my best to be present with myself. And she was asking me about an experience I had, which I'll just say briefly, and it happened during the session with Prem the other day. And I felt this energy in Prem as she was massaging me, and I was finding the courage to say what it is that would feel best to me, and she very joyously responded to that request. And then I felt how we aligned, where the healing started to take place, and I was there. And it was the vibration of harvest. It was the love that I had for heart, and it's
sweet.
And then that's a shared space for us. And then once again, this is probably the third time I did this. I could feel myself. 21 years of walking on that land, I could feel every footstep, every little thing I knew in the past.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked all around. And then I thought about how life is all vibration. And what vibration am I willing to be?
Mm.
And then I thought, and I tried to explain this to the man who's my chiropractor the other day, and I felt there was this place where I wasn't heard, and that was okay.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, when I go to Harbin and sit and listen to the water,
mm-hmm.
and meditate with the sound of the water, I'm in complete joyous union with every tree and flower and creature that I was ever blessed by being
yeah.
in this presence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I said, for me, I just give gratitude for the trees that are there.
Yeah.
And he was like, they're not there, Gloria. And I go, and he is a good Christian. I love this man,
uh-huh.
deeply.
Uh-huh.
I could feel myself wanting to explain. And then I just let go of explanation. But there's this, but in this, I was trying to share this experience with my friend who was in a whole other place. And then she kept interrupting. And she's really going fast. And, you know, I know all about going really fast. She was going really, really, really fast. And I, like, had so much empathy for everybody who put up for me when I was in my mad state. I mean, just, it's like, whoa, everybody around me is going really fast. I'm going, well, okay, empathy, empathy, empathy. And gratitude that they put up with me. But, and so I went back and forth, and I'm asking this, saying this because it's like I want to learn from this. And so I tried to tell her the story, and then she would distract me, and I tried to tell the story, and she would distract me. And then it's like I really decided, well, I'm just going to go really deep into this. And I got to that state, and something happened in the car, and I came out of that state quickly, and I said, where are we going? And she really started to panic and was like, ah. So, I don't know, and that was before they blew things up in Belgium, but it was like that.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? And I could feel how quickly that would go back and forth between us. And I loved her, and I was like, she was interpreting me differently than, and I just kept staying really present and saying, and this was my experience.
Yeah.
It wasn't that, and this was my experience. And I let her have her experience. I don't know what that was, but it...
That is our interaction. That is our, for me, that is our human interaction. Each of us is having our experience. And my question always is anyone listening? So what I know is that my heart is always listening to your heart. And if I'm with my heart, then I can hear your heart.
Right.
But most of us aren't with our heart.
Right.
We're with our head, telling stories or looking at things or processing. Not bad. It's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only when I come into this place where I'll call it stillness right now. And in that place, I can join with you.
And that's, yeah, so, but it was like coming out of it quickly.
Yeah.
And then like, and then looking around and like knowing if I was headed for the right hospital, so then I got in my panic mode, and that's contagious.
Yes, it is.
And she immediately reacted to that.
And she may have always already been there anyway.
She was already there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, I found out later why she was there.
We never really know, you know, cause and effect. We never really know. So what I like to do is I like to just imagine that's where we are, and then I respond to that. So I'm not looking at, is it your story or my story? Is it your fear or my fear? You know, if it's sitting there.
It's mine.
No, if it's sitting there, then I'm the one to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just allow myself to be the responder. I mean, yeah, I had probably the toughest, what would I call it, the most dramatic, the most, I don't know the word to call it, the most out-of-sync counseling session on Monday night with someone who drove up from Santa Rosa. And finally toward the end, because he was so, I'll say what you would hear is argumentative, defensive, all this stuff, meaning he didn't want to be there, he was afraid. And what I did was, which I've done a long time ago with, gosh, I just remembering this, someone, a young woman who's paranoid schizophrenic who came off the streets and spent 7 years actually with me, is when that kind of fear comes up, I just surrender and fall into my own, I'm sorry, I want you to trust me, I apologize for any way that I've made you uncomfortable or fearful. In other words, I come into a really small place. And often, and in his case it did help, often the person actually becomes less fearful because they wind up taking care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting thing for men, by the way, for those of you who have sometimes difficulty with men. In general, they want to be able to protect or provide or take care of. And it's intriguing to me that this full moon brings out what it brings out, because it does. It brings out whatever that a person is experiencing and intensifies it. And it was this morning.
Mm-hmm. 5:00.
Yeah. I mean, I actually had the superintendent. I was asking for help for a young girl, 15-year-old, who'd been raped, and who this person was, and apparently she's well-known. I don't know if she's superintendent or whatever. But she actually, without even really hearing me, just jumped on me. I won't quite say attack, but the energy was that. That was today. And that was, I mean, I shook for a while. And I am sensitive, but I don't usually have that experience. I just assumed, expected that she would listen and respond. But somehow she was out of herself. That's the way to say it. She wasn't at home. And then what I need to do is, once I calm down, is I need to forgive. I mean, it's the same thing as what I was talking about many, many years ago. 1980.
Mm.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah?
There's something about being, it's like shifting dimensions.
It is. Oh, it is.
So it's like, I want to be a more conscious manager of my dimensional shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I guess, what I was looking for, some clues around.
So let me just say that with media and with our now awareness of many places and many people, and if you really look at it compared to when we were kids, for instance, we now have an awareness with movies, with news, all that stuff, of many dimensions, and we've made up more. We didn't have all those made up dimensions, you know, from ET to extraterrestrials to all the movies now about Godzilla and blah, 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 all that stuff, right? We now, and all the war games that our kids are watching, we now have present with us in our space, because thoughts are things, dimensions, I don't know how many times more than what we had then. We had our imagination, but it wasn't anything like what we have now. So we need to understand, individually, we need to understand that all these are available and decide whether or not we're going to be available to all of them. You know what I mean by available to all of them? Because they will show up. Or we're going to hone in on those dimensions which are right now safe for us. And I don't know that most people, I don't know that most people even have an awareness of all the dimensions that are available. The alternate realities, you could call them. Yeah?
So you took on a tough challenge 30 years ago, teaching me how to listen. And you did it in a way that most people don't have the capacity to do. So what happens is that if she's just kind of telling a story or looking at stuff out loud and all of that, my tendency was to say, you know, let me just fix it, you know, let's get on with this, or I identify, oh, I feel bad about it, oh my gosh, I'm going to sit on something wrong, or like that. So we actually embarked on a, you know, we'll teach you to listen. And the way this worked...
Hi. Where are you going?
I'm trying to get in next door, and I can't get that combo thing to work.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll be over there just a minute.
Get in next door for the Unity meeting, right? The AU Unity meeting. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you lock it?
I didn't. Maybe lock it. Yeah. I just bring the key right back.
Right, but then later on we're going to have to close up.
Yeah, we'll
okay.
do it. We're in the middle
right.
of a discussion.
Right.
We'll come over.
Yeah.
We're about ready to end our group. Thank you.
Interesting. So the bottom line is that she actually was conscious enough to kind of play both parts. She played both the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the sharer and the supervisor. And so she would share and all that, and as soon as she noticed that I was starting to take it personally, she'd say, okay, so that's good for now. Thank you, and I'll finish up on my own, and, you know, you go do your thing and all of that.
I was meeting counsel.
Yeah.
Yes.
So most people can't do that, but we actually need to develop that skill, because when we have something that we need help with, and I'll just project onto your ride up to the hospital, okay? You had stuff you were working on. This person was not the person to be working on it with. And there's a point at which we need to say, you know, this is working, it's working. Ah, no, it's not working. Okay, good, I will approach this some other way. And I think that it's not just that, I'm just using that as an excuse here to talk about this, but it's the whole world. It's sort of like we're interacting with the world in lots of different ways. And we need to be aware of when it's working, and then when it stops working, we need to basically step back, look around and see if there's another way to handle it. I was working with a lady last week, and what she doesn't realize is she has such a neediness that her wanting something specific from other people keeps her pushing beyond the point, you know, and then she wonders why people run away and hide, okay? So we've got to develop some sense of this is working, it's working. Oh, if it's not, so let me step back. And that's a big ticket.
Are you talking about being able to read other people?
Well, I not even
make
read
sure
other people,
that
but
you're always safe.
But yeah, read yourself. You see, we actually know when suddenly we're having to work harder, or when we have a little resistance, or when it doesn't feel right and we push on anyway. So I'm not caring about even reading the other person. I'm actually saying, We need to pay attention to our own response, our own reaction. You know, do we walk out in the air and have this slight smell of gas and just say, oh, no, it must be no matter, I'll just keep on going, okay? Or do we say, whoops, there's something. Let me pay attention.
Do you know I make up, and of course I haven't actually asked him, but I make up that Jesus could do that, that he knew the whole picture that was going on, he knew the part he was playing, and he knew how other people were reacting or responding to him. And that's what kept him safe. And I see Jesus as always safe, always, even during the crucifixion.
Well, he was safe because it wasn't his body and he knew it, but other people didn't.
That was a bit of a hint, but I realized that in that situation, I heard myself say, well, no, it's okay, I don't need to share it with you now, because for me to share that was a pretty sacred place I've been to.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, no, not now. Oh, no, I really want to listen. It's just like, And I was like, I think that happened 3 times. And then on the 3rd time is when I went into it for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I came out of it. So there's something there I'm looking at.
So I'm going to make that up. I just projected on that. That's Jesus in the garden. They kept going to sleep.
Yeah, can't you even stay awake for an hour? Come on, guys.
You know, he needed them to stay awake to keep him safe. You needed her to stay awake to keep you safe.
Otherwise, I didn't want to share.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because I got to share it here tonight. It's great to be so, because it, to me, it's like that place of walking in something that had a complete experience of still being in third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like when we open our hearts, we're working with moving to what some people call like fourth dimensional awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So we're needing to leave behind all this other stuff, this limitation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really perfect that it's all happening now. Wow. Thank you.
This was spring cleaning, but it really wasn't, you know, because there was a lot of other stuff going on. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want this.
I don't want that.
No, you don't want this.
Okay. Thanks, I don't want that.
Yeah. And I don't know what we're going to do next week, because in a way we're doing what next week was, grow what you value. You know, that's what we're beginning to look at.
We'll just do more.
You know, how do you...
Plant more seeds.
We actually have our grandkids here, so Robert's going to not be here probably next week. He'll be with them. But growing what you value is really about turning your light toward what you want to grow. You guys who, you little growing children, you know.
Well, I just want to say one two things. A lot of people comment on how beautiful the spring is and how such a rebirth and that thing. And that's wonderful. But for me, it's really an act of faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful and profound and pervasive act of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I people don't get that sometimes. They just feel it's so pretty, you know, and more than that.
Yeah.
And that we're part of it, we're not separate from it.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
The second thing I wanted to say, I don't know if this relates to what we're talking about or not, but I have something that I need. And I decided that it's not my job to know how it will happen, but rather to live integrity with my values and have faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where demonstration is so profound for me.
Yeah.
Is that I have to have faith. And I need to do the work, I need to choose a path, and I need to stay aware and trust. And that's my job. Mm-hmm. I love it. So that feels comfortable. It's trusting. It feels right.
Yeah.
It feels like I can relax. I don't have to. How is it
going
to work? I don't have to worry about the how. The way will be made clear to me.
So you're talking about working?
Yeah, kind of money.
I mean, the reason why I'm saying that is because you declared, and your words have enormous power, your words in particular,
mm-hmm.
because you are conscious, is you said, I'm not working. And I want to tell you, you are working.
Yeah.
Every moment of every day in being here. and therefore you need to not say what's not true, that you're not working. Because you need to declare, I am working. And then if you want to add to it, what are you working for? I'm working for God. I'm working for a blessing. I'm working for the gift of life. I'm working for, I mean, create something for you so that you know that what you, thank you, so that you know that what you really, what can I say, really affirming is the honest and honorable truth for you. Because sometimes we declare ourselves referring to the way the world thinks and the way the world talks, and we literally take ourselves off the path just with our words. And we convince other people that it's true. I mean, frankly, you're one of the hardest working people I know. When you step in here, you declare yourself over and over and over again so that we can hear and affirm and be with you in that.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's very powerful, Shirley. Mm, yeah.
Thank you for having the space. It's been great for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's sweet. Sweet, good, solid, and firm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's so much love and respect here. Yeah. It's really beautiful. Thank you. And happy Good Friday and and
Holy Thursday.
Oh yeah, that's right. Thank
Holy
you.
Smokes.
Holy Smokes.
Day.
And be gentle with ourselves. I mean, that's one of the Easter. Yeah, very very gentle with ourselves, and gentle with those around us who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the big one is. Are we willing to forgive those who don't know what they're doing? Yeah, we can. We can love them anyway.
Part of it is letting go of the belief that when people say, I know what I'm doing, that they actually do.
I'm not sure anybody really does.
At the
level.
Way of
where
you supposedly they know what you're doing, and they act like they think they know what you're doing. And it's like when the sound, the old TV, when the sound and the picture didn't match sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of experience.
Uh-huh. Yep, yep. And boy, when you become aware of that, it's like, wow. Wow. You know, when people are really separate from themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you can actually see their body separate from their body. I mean, they're being separate from their body.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys are doing body work, you know that, you know, when the eyes are a different place and...
Do you want the chairs put away tonight or not?
They get stuck under. Yep. Oh, and if anybody wants either the April, March, April, May calendar,
I would like
want
it.
An April, May calendar. And then the Reiki Master Class.
I already responded
it?
To
it. Oh, good.
I was on it today.
Oh,
I
good.
Talk about shining. I'm willing to be a shining star for God.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, Shirley, what is yours?
I'm willing to be open, intuitive, creative.
Wow.
Wait,
that sounds like what you're talking about today. Oh, yeah. Sorry.